This is Will's Band of the Week for December 6th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris from Ron Swanson Studios in Madison.
Here I am.
And Nicholas from Backyard Barbecue Studios in COVID-free Melbourne, Australia.
I don't know if we're completely COVID-free, but getting pretty close. Hello, good to be here. It's the end of the year.
It is. So, two notable things. We're, of course, missing Barrett. Barrett didn't listen to enough new music this year, so he deferred and gave his coveted spot to Nicholas. So,
I'll be coming back to that point many times.
It's prime
whether
time.
I really deserve to be here or not, or whether I should have stepped aside. Like, I feel like Barrett's smart, and I'm just like, yeah, you guys want me? Sure, I'll talk.
Well, you know how, Chris and I just finished watching some basketball. And so Nicholas is like the sixth man. You know, he's been coming in off the bench, and now he's been made a starter. And now we got to see if he can perform up to the appropriate level.
Pressure's on.
It's next man up, man. That's how we do it here.
So
no excuses.
So in case people haven't figured it out, this is it—the big end of year podcast. We'll have a series of these. This is the biggie, the first one, and exciting, right? It's always an exciting time of year, even when the year is 2020.
I, of course, am wearing my tuxedo.
Yeah,
maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, I'm wearing it. It's the tuxedo within.
Yeah,
your internal tuxedo. It's looking good.
That's a great band name, by the way.
Internal tuxedo.
Actually, they're number four on my list. The internal tuxedos.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry to give it away.
Well, the other thing, of course, that's different, other than not having Barrett this year, is that we're not in person. And this is the first time, I think, that we've... I bet every year previously, Chris, you and Barrett have come over here, right? I think, you know...
Yeah, we've never done a remote end of the year.
And somebody brings a bottle of scotch, usually, and it's beautiful. So now we're drinking remotely.
I think we need to start a new tradition where I go to Nick's in Melbourne. And we do it from there.
That sounds like it'd be great.
Fly over, yeah. You can visit your sister around the corner. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Yep. And, I assume with all the revenue that we make from this, that the podcast will pay for it.
Shouldn't be a problem.
I mean, I can only assume.
Yeah, well, we've bought all those studios for people, all those upgrades. That landscaping in the backyard barbecue area is beautiful now, isn't it, Nicholas?
Yeah, we've got the in-ground pool that you can just dangle your feet in. We've got the full soundstage set up for any band to just come and plug in and play while we're eating sausages.
That just sounds absolutely beautiful. It's like everything you could ever want. Watching some indie rock, some great barbecue, feet in the pool. It's all good.
Is there a famous sausage that is native to Australia? Like, Italy has the Italian sausages and Germany has the bratwurst. Is there a sausage from Australia that we need to know about?
We like things really plain here in Australia. Mm. So you go to the supermarket and you go to the meat section. There's these little sort of styrofoam trays, and it'll have like about 12 sausages all kind of lined up, and it'll have like a little label that just says barbecue sausages. And then you just pick it up and you put it in your trolley and you pay for it and you go home and you cook them. And it's like...
In your trolley?
Yeah, in your trolley. Your shopping cart, maybe you call it.
Shopping cart, yeah.
You just take it home and you put it on. So it's what we call normal barbecue sausages, and that's how we like it in Australia. We like everything to be normal.
So I'd like you to know that you are actually talking to someone famous now, because I am now a meat influencer. On Twitter, I mentioned the fact that I get beef jerky every month delivered to me by a company called Jack's Links. And so I have a meat subscription service. And I put out on Twitter that people should order this for their loved ones, especially if they truly love them, and send them meat every month. And Jack's Links contacted me today and said, we're going to send you free meat to try to talk about more online.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
You've arrived.
I am now
God. Beef jerky influencer.
Right. So, you know, I should be paid for this. Jack's Links.
Wow.
Pay up.
That is awesome.
It sounds like you're getting paid in meat, which is, you know, the best way to get paid.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. It just eliminates the middleman. I'd be paying for I'd be buying meat with it with the money anyway.
Yeah.
Just, right. Yeah. Oh, that is beautiful. That's good.
All right, let's talk about music.
Yeah, I've of course accumulated our list, so all the songs are queued up. And but I was looking back and I started saving the playlist, so I have everything going back to 2017. So this will be the fourth year full of playlists of top tens, which is really fun. So yeah, we're going to count them down, and my goal is to play maybe about a minute and a half of each track instead of the usual about 2 minutes. Unless there's like a really hooky chorus coming up, sometimes I'll try to eke it out, you know. But we're going to try to keep it moving so that we get through this in less than some insane amount of time.
If it goes on too long, I'm going to be half in the bag because I'm already drinking scotch. So,
okay, so
that's the other hazard of this going on too long. Some of us might not make it.
All right, well,
which has happened before, I should note.
Legendary.
There's going to be some conspiracy theory that Barrett got suspended from this year end one for his hijinks of several years ago.
Yeah, could be.
But anyway,
so my playlists alphabetized themselves, and Chris's name starts with a C, so he goes first. Chris,
all right,
number 10 for 2020.
This is an album that you guys reviewed just a few weeks ago, and I was not on the podcast. I listened to it, and I was like, immediately, wait, or was I on this podcast? I think I might have been on it.
Now I can't remember either. I don't think you were. I think you just said that you liked it.
Because you started playing a song and like we came back and I was like, I'm immediately in on this. But I had not heard it
wait,
before.
right. Okay, that was what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
The album is by Fen Lily, who is a 23-year-old British singer-songwriter. The name of the album is Breach. And it's a singer-songwriter album. It's very good. It's got some sad parts. It's got some happy parts. And the song that I picked is Solipsism.
Thank you.
Fen Lily kicks it off.
Two important things about that album. One, it was produced by Steve Albini, who has his studio very nearby in Chicago, a very famous producer. Also, there are 1,271 words on the record.
That's a good thing to know.
Fen Lily herself added up and posted. So,
is that a lot or not? I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. We should do some sort of analysis of like what the wordiest albums are.
I would say that's more words than average. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I think a lot of rap albums probably have more words per album. Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's my pick.
Fen Lily.
One for one. I'll declare it.
Yep. The album is Breach by Fen Lily. Check it out. Nicholas, number 10.
Yes. Here we go. So I'm just going to apologize. I'm going to do like a blanket apology. Chris, you're saying no excuses. I'm not making excuses. I'm just going to say this top 10, it's like it's a bit of a journey through my year. This is kind of like a soundtrack to my year is what I'm kind of giving you guys a taste of.
As it is for all of us.
Yeah. But I guess I'm sort of saying that because not every release is, you know, going to technically play by the rules of best album of the year. Let me just say that.
Uh-oh.
And anyway, this first one is kind of, I guess it's a good little indication of how weird this year has been. This has been a weird year for everyone in the entire world, I believe, and, you know. When I listened to this song, which I kind of fell in love with this song, it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of got that just that weird vibe to it, and it's kind of somehow, you know, encapsulates the kind of the weirdness of this year. So I think just I basically stumbled across this little video someone had posted on Facebook or something of this guy playing an instrument called a hurdy-gurdy, which looks like you're kind of holding some sort of weird like a violin on your lap, but it's got all these extra strings and buttons, and you turn a little sort of a little handle to make this sound. But the sound of it that came out is like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So anyway, let's enjoy this track, a little taste of the year from my perspective by an artist called Andrei Vinogradov. Russian's premier hurdy-gurdy player, and you know, I'm sure he's I'm sure there's many fans of Andrei Vinogradov who listen to this show, so
wow.
I'm sure everyone's going to be right behind me. This is an amazing song called Reverse Dance.
Andrei Vinogradov. The album is Distant Calls. Is the whole thing instrumental?
I was just going to ask that. Same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. So if you like that, you can love the album.
It sounds like a little bit mellower sounding bagpipes.
Yeah.
Very
I
interesting.
I loved it. A couple years ago, I picked the Phantom Thread soundtrack from Johnny Greenwood, and just a couple weeks ago, you guys interviewed Helena Deland,
yeah.
Deland, and she mentioned that she was inspired by that album So I think I think instrumental albums are perfectly well within the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Fun pick. Great. All right. My number 10 is Dead Famous People from New Zealand. I got into this album quite a bit, and it's a fun backstory. They were contemporaries of the Chills back in the early 90s, and then just kind of disappeared for almost 30 years. And then somebody from a record label, and I should know, this is bad music journalism to not tell you what label it is, but I believe it's one of the Brooklyn, you know, hipster Brooklyn labels, said, hey, I wonder what they're up to, and kind of convinced them to make another album. And it's named after the singer's son, Harry. So that's the name of the album, Harry, and Dead Famous People. I picked the track Goddess of Chill.
Goddess of chill came down to my room and sat down in the gloom, and it's all very soon I was happy that the goddess of chill came.
Dead Famous People, our first New Zealand entry. Might be the only one, actually. Wait a minute.
There's one coming up.
Oh, yeah. I thought of that one. How could I not remember that?
Yeah.
All right. That was my number 10. And now we get to go into the single digits. So,
yeah.
We've made pretty far. Chris. Chris,
literally
what's...
10% done.
Right. What's number 9?
Yeah, this is the most famous band on my list. They are known worldwide. Grammy, even they're nominated. I don't know if they won for Best New Artist a couple years ago. But the band is Haim, which are three sisters from Los Angeles. All multi-instrumental, all sing, very musical family. They actually got their start in part because Danielle Haim, the drummer slash singer mostly, was in Julian Casablancas' band when he was a solo artist, of course, from The Strokes. So she played in his band a little bit, and he gave them kind of their start. But the album is Women in Music 3. I'm sorry, Women in Music Part 3. And it's a very, I would say, angry, irritated album, but it's really good. It's very popular amongst young people,
which so we are not,
which we are not, but in the same way that like Public Enemy was my like look into, you know, urban life, this is my look into the lives of millennials. So, I think it's a great album. The song that I picked is the last song on the album. And one thing that I really appreciate about this album is the drumming. I think the drumming, while not technically like super, it's not like John Bonham, it just hits just right at the right time. I think it's just technically perfect. So I think this gives an example of that. So the song I picked is the last song in the album. It's called Summer Girl. ¶¶
smiles turn into crying. It's the same release. And you always know. And you always know. I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl. Lightning in your eyes, you can't speak. You're falling from the sky down to me. I see it in your face, I'm relieved. I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl.
I'm, yeah, the drums are great on that. And not only the just the playing, but the way it's recorded is cool. Sometimes bands get, you know, you figure this band's got a big budget, right? Their first album hit it pretty big. And they could have made the drums sound really artificial, but these are like close-up mic'd with a little like, you know, small room reverb or something on them. It's, and it's cool.
Look at you with the technical expertise.
Yeah, what do you think, Nicholas? Did I get that right? You're a studio guy.
Yeah. I like what you're saying. Yeah, it kind of reminded me a bit of like almost like a Joni Mitchell album from the you know, second half of the 70s or something like that. So definitely got a bit of a retro kind of feel. I really like her voice as well. It's cool.
And she's playing those drums. She's playing the drums and singing at the same time.
Wow.
Phil Collins.
Cool.
Phil Collins style. Phil Collins. So we always appreciate that.
Oh yeah, that's great. And the guy from the Romantics.
Yes.
What I like about you. All right. Nicholas, number nine.
So 2020, I keep on saying it's been a weird year. I'm not the only one saying that. But, you know, unfortunately we lost, I guess I feel like now I'm getting to my, you know, I'm 45 now. And, you know, unfortunately starting to sort of slowly lose people who were actually my musical heroes growing up. We lost Eddie Van Halen. I know that you guys did a nice tribute to him at the time, but I guess I thought I'd take this opportunity to sort of play a really awesome track and I guess just, you know, pay my respects. And it's kind of, yeah, he's probably, out of all the people who have died, whose music I've been into, in some ways this has kind of affected me the most. I'm not really sure why, but, you know, look, definitely growing up with two older brothers and we all kind of played electric guitar and stuff like that. You know, Van Halen was a massive part of sort of growing up and falling in love with rock music and electric guitar, you know, like so many millions of other people. So I guess I just wanted to play a Van Halen song and say farewell to Eddie again. The track I chose is a favorite of mine because it starts off with Eddie playing an acoustic guitar, which he kind of didn't really do that much, but it's a great example of just listening to how awesome he sounds even when he's playing an acoustic guitar. So this is from a track from 1980 from the Women and Children First album. This is a song called Take Your Whiskey Home.
Well, my baby, she don't want me around. She said she's tired of watching me fall down. She wants a good life and all the best, but I like that bottle better than the rest. And she said, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble. Well, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble. Well, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble. Whiskey.
with that liquor in the nighttime. These strange memories seems a lifetime since yesterday. Come the daybreak, hey, come tomorrow. That woman's waited up all night for me again. Oh, she said, oh, and I think that you're in for a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, I think that you're in for a whole lot of trouble.
Good pick, Nicholas. R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen.
Again, perfectly within the rules, I think.
You know, I loved, growing up, I loved Michael Jackson. I loved Prince. I guess they're two of the people who I guess have died over the last 10 years. But yeah, like I said, for some reason, Eddie really kind of hit me hard. And I don't know, maybe he just seemed a little bit more human and a bit more of a kind of a normal person. As opposed to those kind of, you know, yeah, people like Michael Jackson and Prince. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. For my number nine, this is one I had a list I was accumulating for a while, and I had 18 contenders for my top 10. And then I started going through to, you know, try to pare it down. And I was kind of doing, like, quick sampling to try to remember how much did I like this album. And I actually sampled it a little bit and said, nah, I don't know. I don't know if it's quite top 10 material. Then I listened to the whole thing again, and then I was like, okay, wait a minute. This thing is good. This is solid throughout. So I had to put Soccer Mommy in my top 10. The album is Color Theory, and the song I picked is Circle the Drain. Soccer Mommy, mainly the project of Sophie Allison from Nashville.
I have absolutely nothing to say about that album.
Nope. You can just sit back, enjoy my great pick, and maybe at some point you'll let us know what you think about it.
Well, Will, I think you've done a great job. You brought it back to home base, you know, back to the indie rock with a female singer. That's what our listeners pay for. They don't pay to hear exactly the Van Halen song. They want to hear sort of a 20-something cute girl with a Fender guitar playing some jingly-jangly indie rock. And I love it too.
Right.
I was just going to say, you know, if everyone just listens to our top 10 albums, they're going to be listening to a whole lot of great music.
They really they crave 40 men in their mid-40s talking about 23-year-old women and their songs about, like, relationships and things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
That's what we've all come for. Let's be real.
Some men well beyond their mid-40s, too. I should have just left it. I should have just left it. All right. Chris, we're up to number eight.
I'm up again.
Yeah, it's getting serious. Well, yep.
This should be a surprise to nobody. This is one of my favorite artists. And it's really, of all the people, this is one of the biggest bummers that COVID hit and I was not able to see her in person because she's had so many good albums now. She would have strung together a really, really strong show with this album and past hits. But it's Waxahachie, of course, Katie Crutchfield. And the album is St. Cloud. It came out very early in the year. I believe I was on the podcast where we talked about it. And the song that I picked is called Witches.
Waxahachie. The album is St. Cloud. The only question about Anurag's list is not whether it'll be on his list, but where it will appear on his list, right?
Well, this is a long-running debate on this podcast, which Crutchfield is superior.
Right.
Because I know Barrett had her twin sister, Allison Crutchfield, on his list. Or was it you?
I think it was Barrett, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's more partial to Allison, who I think is a little bit more. I would call her a little bit more experimental, a little more out there.
Were you at the show that when we saw Waxahachie? I forgot whether it was the High Noon or the Majestic. Like
I was there, and it was at the High Noon.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, and Allison was in her band, in Katie's band, and they were super professional, right? Like top notch live performers. That was great.
Yeah, I think you're going to see this on a lot of. I've purposely tried not to read a lot of lists, but I think you'll see this on a lot of lists, a lot of top 10 lists.
It's in, from what I've read, it's in a lot of top 50 lists, but sometimes it's like very oddly like number 47 or something, and I'm like, what are they thinking? Anyway.
Well, then they're wrong.
Yeah, totally incorrect. All right, on to Nicholas. Oh, it's another fun one. Nicholas is number 8. We're all happy he got it on here since Chris and I did not find a spot for this one. This is a band I'll say this is a very 2020 band for me because I missed them. I missed them at the canceled South by Southwest, and then like 2 days before I was supposed to see them in Tucson in March, that got canceled. So classic 2020.
I'd love to see this band. We're talking about the band Shopping. I've really liked lots of their albums. I think that you probably put me onto this band a few years ago when I was kind of new to the podcast. Anyway, they put out an album called All or Nothing, and I thought I'd chuck this track in there because this is a song that our oldest son Fox, who's almost 8, he's got his own playlist of songs. So basically, whenever he's hearing my music or happens to be in the car with the radio playing and he likes a song, he'll say, oh, what's this song? Oh, can you put this on my playlist? And he doesn't say that about everything. Doesn't say, he's actually quite, seems to be quite discerning, but something about this song stood out to him and it's on his playlist. So when he's having his shower at night time, he'll be grooving to this. And it's funny, it's been funny to hear him like kind of like walking around the house, like singing this song, even when it's not playing. So it's definitely catchy, even if you're 7 3/4 years old. So let's have this song from Shopping called Follow Me.
Shopping. The album is All or Nothing. And yeah, that's cool. What a fun band. If I remember.
I had not heard of them until Nick did the podcast where you reviewed this album earlier in the year. And I went and I listened to it immediately and really loved it. And just last night, as I was checking my list for accuracy, for verification, I went back and I listened to that. I'm like, oh man, I should have had a spot for it. But I couldn't, unlike you, who slipped in Soccer Mommy on me in the last minute, I figured my list was already set. So,
if I remember right, the two main members, one is based in London and the other in Glasgow. And I don't know, one of them might have moved to the other city. I'm not sure. But yeah, UK band. And hopefully they can have a breakout 2021. After they were denied in 2020. We'll hope, right?
Absolutely.
Totally. I'm sure that like lots of bands that have just got their guitars in their cases ready to go as soon as they can.
Yep, fire them up. All right. Okay, my number 8, I think there's maybe a built-in advantage when we talk to somebody on the podcast and we like them. And so we're inclined to, to look favorably upon their music. But actually what happened to me with this one is that Jeremiah had set up a tentative interview and then it got delayed by a couple weeks. Well, during that couple weeks, I got to listen to the album more. And it's like, this is the classic, what I call a grower, where it's like pretty quiet and takes a while for the melodies to creep up on you. And then you realize, man, this is really great. I'm talking about Helena Deland and her album Someone New. So let's play
a
track.
A grower, not a shower.
Exactly. Let's play a track we did not play on the previous podcast of the many good ones. This one is called Lils. That wasn't it.
That was not.
That's what was Eddie Van Halen gusted on the album. All right. Thank you. Helena Deland from Montreal.
Guest starring Eddie Van Halen.
Thank you, Jeremiah, and thank you, Helena, and what an enjoyable album. I will definitely be going back to that one. Number 8 for me for this year. Chris?
Outstanding. I'm up again.
Yeah, that means we're up to number 7. You've got a couple.
Right.
You've got a couple on your list that that I'm like, wait a minute. That was a really good album. I kind of forgot about it, but it was great. And this is one of them. You've got a couple more. So
Yeah. Damn straight. I take this very seriously.
Yeah.
So this is another. This is a band that was mentioned on the podcast just last week from Gothenburg, Sweden.
Yeah.
The album is Westkust by the band Westkust. So we reviewed this earlier in the year. I should just stop saying that because we did all these. It's another power pop album. It's kind of dreamy, kind of spans the power pop versus dream pop arena. But I really like the sound. And so the song that I picked is called Cotton Skies.
Westkust from Gothenburg,
yep.
Sweden. Yeah, what a fun pick.
A lot of echo on the guitars, and I love the vocals that just kind of float above everything, and it's kind of theatrical. Really love it. It's a great album.
Yeah,
I love the two, Chris. It took me back to a moment in about 1990 at like a school dance. We'd call them a school social here, and I remember the song "Shiny Happy People" by REM came blasting on the, you know, across the speakers, and I remember sort of dancing and sort of with my arms waving and my my knees getting right up in the air and like dancing in circles or something like that. I remember seeing one of my, like my maths teacher who was like, you know, obviously supervising that night, kind of just sort of standing there, sort of like looking at me with a sort of a slightly sort of bemused, sort of scornful look at me kind of dancing joyously to this REM song. Anyway, listening to that song just then just made, had that same kind of vibe of like, you know, turn it up really loud, turn all the lights off, just dance with your arms waving in the air. Are you with me, guys, or am I just out here on my own?
See, oh, now, yeah. That is how you review an album.
Yeah, exactly.
My, you know, I try to tell you what it sounds like. Nick tries to tell you what it feels like.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I did my best, but he put me to shame.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Nicholas's number 7. And this is one you featured earlier this year on the podcast.
It was. It's kind of grabbed me. And, you know, a classic example of an album that came out years and years ago that I, you know, had no knowledge about. And, you know, like after everyone else got into it, I'm like, hey, guys, you know, there's this thing that came out 15 years ago and it's really good. Anyway, we're talking about Lou Barlow and his album Emo that was originally released in 2005, but was sort of re-released. I don't know why this year, you know, for its 15-year anniversary. Anyway, I really loved it, and I guess this is a song that got played a lot in our kitchen here at home, and so it was a bit of a soundtrack for the year. And it was nice to sort of talk in a bit more depth in an earlier episode of the podcast, like you guys were just mentioning. Anyway, let's have a little fun track from the album Emo by Lou Barlow. This is a song called The Ballad of Day Kitty.
Where'd the kitty come from? And where'd the kitty go? The kitty's always hungry. I told the kitty no. So the kitty had to ramble, she had to roam. But where'd the kitty come from? Where did the kitty go? Now Hector was the son of a mountain lion. She heard him crying, she followed him in, and she became the apple of my eye. But when Hector couldn't love her, my day kitty said goodbye. She belonged to another family up the street. I knew they couldn't love her, well, even half as much as I love the kitty in the morning. I love her every night. The day she left me, I hung my head and cried. Where'd the kitty come from? And where'd the kitty go?
Lou Barlow. You know what's cool about that is it, you know, it works as a cool kids song, right?
Totally.
So that's neat when you have a, well, plus, you know, it's a departure from like the classic stuff that he was doing. And we talked about that when you talked about that a lot on the earlier podcast about how it's kind of a release for artists to put out a solo album that's different in sort of genre from what they've been doing, right?
Yeah, people probably know him from Sebado and Dinosaur Jr., but, you know, half of this album he just recorded in his own home, and he seems to be a bit of a fan of the kind of lo-fi sounds, and but, you know, great songs and cool artist. Yeah, so props also to
Lou. Also a big fan of Folk Implosion, which is not lo-fi, but that was a great album a while ago. As that song was playing, I took to our little group chat and said, anybody that wants a shout-out on this podcast, get it in now. And Jeremiah says his number one album is going to be Harry Styles, which did not come out this year. So I'm sorry, Jeremiah. You're going to have to pick a different album.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get some good comments. You know, I did look into whether we could live stream this recording. But we're using Skype, and you can't do that. So that would have been an argument for using Zoom, because we could have done that. But then the recording quality was a little more difficult with Zoom. So here we are in the traditional mode.
Sure.
Audio only, even though I'm sure the listeners are clamoring to see us in the studios, the respective studios. All right. My number seven, would this be a Google proof name or whatever? They're called Lake. You know, it really doesn't, yes. It doesn't help to put all capitals because, you know, internet searches are not case sensitive. So I only found out about this band because some indie rock blog talked about the album and said it was good. And I listened to it and I agreed. They're a band and they've been around for a long time. They're sort of indie rock veterans. They've got albums dating back way, you know, I don't know, like 15 years or something. They're from Olympia, Washington, and they are not, you know, like I would associate Olympia, Washington with like a loud screaming punk scene or something like that. But they're a very poppy band. Sometimes I think they sound kind of like Fleetwood Mac, and sometimes they're a little bit more experimental sounding. But the whole thing is just really good and fun. The album is called Roundelay, so you can't you know, you can't find it by searching for Lake, but you can find it by the album title Roundelay. I picked track two. I haven't really been mentioning track names, but I like to pick track two a lot, and this is another good track two called She Plays One Chord. Just let that keep playing. It's so soothing. I love it. Lake.
So you were talking earlier about stuff popping up on my list that you remembered from the year that was really good. I had completely forgotten about that album until you just played it just now, and I'm like, yeah, I really like that album because I reviewed it on the podcast. Only I reviewed it on the same podcast of another album that I really like that I might be discussing at some point here too. So I think. I think the other album just overshadowed it. Completely forgotten it.
I remembered that you liked it. Yeah. So
yeah,
super
I like
fun
that
album
one too. Chris, maybe we were on the same episode when we reviewed that. So I think that I was part of that reviewing process. No,
will Chris and David discuss the latest releases from band to be named later, Lake and RVG?
Oh yeah. So
didn't you hear the confidence in my voice when I was saying, you know, that I was on that episode? I don't want you to check things when I'm saying them. I just want you to go along.
Yeah, come on. Stop the fact checking.
You almost just spoke it into existence. Almost like I won the election.
Right. You know, I don't remember either.
I obviously listened to that album. So look, I'm just making up my own reality here, guys. Just go with me.
The only reason I remember that I was on these podcasts is because I'm on all of them. But otherwise, I wouldn't remember.
Wait, we've been actually doing some without you on them. You didn't realize that?
Those are the underground ones, right?
Right, behind your back.
On the dark web. This is Secret Link. Will's Band of the Week without Will.
Napster.
Sans Will, it's called. All right. All right. We are up to... we're going to round out the first half here.
Yeah.
We're at Chris's number six now.
That's right. I don't have much to say about this band because I literally know nothing about them other than the fact that they are from Paris, France.
What else is there to know? That's it.
I'm going to struggle with the pronunciation, but also I should note that sometimes I confuse them with West Coast because they actually sound somewhat alike. The band is Unattended Anna, and I don't think I was on this podcast, but this is one of those ones where I listened to it and really liked it, and the album is called Juliet, or Juliet, and the song that I picked is called In and Out.
Attendant Anna. What a fun band, right? They've got the punchy bass, but then they've got there's some horns in there and just crazy stuff that seems like it would be super fun to see live.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And I would also like to extend my congratulations or my thanks to Unattended Anna for doing the album in English, because had they done it in French, I probably wouldn't have listened to it and I would have missed out on it completely this year. So I appreciate you guys coming to us, being a part of our culture. I don't even know what I'm saying. But yes, thank you.
It was nice of them, yeah. Okay. Nicholas, number six.
Yes, well, I was just checking my facts here, and I was about to say, look, I needed to have some Australian music in here, and actually there's one other coming up, which is thankful.
We probably have more Australian music than you do.
We typically do, yeah.
Yeah, it's my calling card, isn't it? Just ignore all the bands in Melbourne. Anyway, we're going to listen to this guy was actually on my top 10 last year, so there's obviously something about his music that I just like it. So growing up as a young guy playing guitar, you know, you like people. I love people like, well, we talked about Eddie Van Halen, and I guess Steve Vai was a big kind of guitar dude in my world. And now there's this kind of new generation of, I guess you can call it, you sort of call it, whether you want to call it progressive metal, progressive rock. Some people call it djent. It's this kind of instrumental, heavy, electric guitar music that exists, and lots of people are making it. And this guy called Pliny, P-L-I-N-I, from Sydney, he's only in his late 20s, has kind of become big around the world. And my mate Maddie and I went to see him live last year, I guess. And they just put out a new album, which is cool. And I suppose there's still part of me that loves, you know, a bit of shredding on the guitar. And, you know, there's something about his music that's just really, you can kind of sink your teeth into it. And I just want to share some. So this is from Pliny's new album. The album's called Impulse Voices. And this is a really cool track called Papalillo. I don't know how to say it. Papalillo from Pliny.
Pliny, you'd have to say he's influenced by Eddie Van Halen, right?
That's a lot of notes.
There's a lot of notes.
I feel like it's a real awkward fit when I play a track like that on this podcast. I feel like it really kind of sticks out as like, wow, it's a whole sound that just doesn't quite sit right in this podcast. But I don't know what you guys think. Maybe Anurag would like it.
I think we got to get thrown out of our narrow indie rock kind of thing every once in a while, and it's fun. I did some serious music journalism as we were playing that. His full name is Pliny Wrestler Holgate. Great name, right? It's just long to use as a stage name.
Should I say no?
I guess you can see why he changed it to just Pliny.
It's a lot easier. Yeah. Very good. I thought it sounded familiar. This guy was on your top 10 last year too. That is impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, and you know, it's got that sort of darkness. It's got that heaviness. So I don't tend to listen to a lot of dark, heavy music. But sometimes it's like, yeah, I just, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm doing the dishes, and now I want to get something, you know, with a whole lot of whammy bar and some distortion. So let's crank up some Pliny. So it's just like, every now and then, this is what I want.
Great.
So you said earlier, like around the house with one of your other bands, that you hear Fox like singing this, you know, like shopping or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever walked in on Fox playing that? Playing Pliny? Like he's just like 1,000 notes a minute?
Hasn't come up yet. Yeah, okay. He just tends to kind of ignore everything, but then if he likes something, his ears will prick up straight away. So
I mean, he's 8. You give him a little bit of time, at least until 10.
Yeah.
As that I was playing, I was thinking of this, that Eddie Van Halen has a son named Wolf, and you have a son named Fox.
That's right.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
That'll be a new band, Fox and Wolf.
Yes. Fox and Wolf. That's perfect. Every like half the bands a few years ago, it was like all the rage. Everybody had Fox in their name. So
yeah.
I sense something happening.
We had the Bears, the Foxes, the
Yeah, grizzly bear.
The and... wolves, the, yeah. All right, very good, very cool. We're rounding out the top half now, believe it or not.
Yeah, this is year six.
My number six, right, and yeah, so my number 10 was Dead Famous People from New Zealand, and I errantly said, I don't know if we have anybody else from New Zealand. Of course we have somebody else from New Zealand, the Beths, with their second album, and I think Nicholas prefers that we call it the sophomore album, right?
Yes, well, in Australia, it'd be their year eight
album. The year eight album, right? Yep, I remember that discussion. This is the Beths with their year eight album, and really, great job by the Beths. I think when you have an album that, when your first one really captures people, the second one is in danger of falling flat, which this one did not. It's called Jump Rope Gazers. And this song, I just love this song. And this is, you know, one thing we talk about on an album, if it's strong beginning to end, that's a, you know, one thing we really look for, right? There's no duds. Well, this one, you get to the end, and my favorite song is the last song. It really, if I was going to make a list of favorite songs of the year, this would definitely be in my top 10 songs of the year. I just love this. The Beths, Just Shy of Sure. Beths, Jump Rope Gazers, and I'll just let the music speak for itself. You guys don't have to say anything. The listeners know. They're listening to this. They're like, that is great. Nobody needs to say anything about it.
Yeah, I really have nothing to add.
Nope. So that's it. That's the first half. And you know what we need to do?
Good night, everybody.
Right. Well, you know what we do need to do? We need to save the file now to avoid catastrophic failure. So we'll do that. This is where the commercial break would be, where we'd make millions of dollars on the sponsorship. So why don't we say it like this? We'll be back right after this. All right, we're back. I hope everybody could handle that long commercial break. Probably was hard to get through that all. And you couldn't. Well, you could have fast-forwarded through it.
How many ads did we have during the break?
I think there were about 10, so it was about like 10 minutes worth. They were only $10,000 a piece, so that gets us $100,000. So that's a few studio upgrades we can do, hopefully.
This is what you do when you have like no advertisers. You just say, we're working hard to keep this advertisement free, like we're doing the listener a favor.
Right.
When in fact, there's nobody would pay a cent to advertise on this podcast, and we all know that.
Right. Right, this honesty in podcasting.
Well, I'm going to do a free ad for the Beths, actually. It was funny when you were saying, no one say anything, Will. I was making a really funny joke, and then I realized that I had my microphone muted, so the joke was on me.
It's lost. Oh.
I was going to let everybody know that the Beths are selling Beths tea towels on their website. So you can go to the Beth's website and buy a tea towel for Christmas. How's that for advertising? Free of charge.
Are they selling masks? I'd buy a Beth's mask.
I reckon you could make a tea towel into a mask.
Well, you could, but it would take work. So, yeah. All right. It's time for
up again?
Time for the second half. And, so that means, wow, we're up to Chris's number 5.
Right.
This is another one of those fun ones that I'm like, wait, we talked about this earlier in the year. I kind of forgot how good this was.
I listened to it throughout the year, and I every time I listen to it, I'm like, this is rock solid top 10. And it is the band Gum Country, and the album is called Somewhere, and it is fronted by Courtney Garvin of the Canadian band The Courtneys, appropriately enough. And I have a lot more to say about this album in the podcast that we did earlier in the year. So if you're desperate to know more about Gum Country, take a break from this podcast right now, skip over, listen to 20 minutes of me talking about them, and then come back. But if you don't want to do that, in the rare chance that you don't want to do that, then listen to this. The song is called Pills.
Gum Country.
I recall at the time making the point that this is one of those examples of an artist making an album that is just as good as their regular band, except this is a side project. So it doesn't happen often, but I think this is one of those cases. Courtney Garvin.
And I thought that the Courtneys had some association with Vancouver, but Gum Country is listed as Los Angeles. So maybe she moved to Los Angeles for indie rock stardom.
It's possible.
In any event, cool. Very, very good. Fun album. We are now up to Nicholas's number 5.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. How fun. This is great. You know, this is one you got to rely on Nicholas to put this one in here, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, being part of an international podcast with thousands of listeners, it's kind of my responsibility to sort of bring bands that people may not have even heard of before.
Right.
Sorts of like underground music, you know, stuff that, I mean, I feel like I really put a lot of effort into just like discovering new bands and bringing them to our audience. And, you know, that's just kind of what I do. I feel like I do it well. And I guess this band, hopefully they're going to, you know, keep going and do some good things. And, you know, I guess they're a band to keep watching. They are from Australia. They're a little band called AC/DC, and this is ridiculous. What I'm saying.
They're that's short. They're actually the full name is Alternating Current Direct Current, right? But people just call them AC/DC for short.
Yeah, just AC/DC for short.
Just among their friends.
Yeah.
I guess when a band keeps going and then they keep going and then they keep going, you know, sometimes it's good. sometimes it's maybe not so good. And I feel like with AC/DC, it's awesome. And I guess it's really nice when awesome things kind of keep going. AC/DC put out this album. Lots of people were saying, "Oh, this is the best thing that's happened in 2020." Thank you. So I guess the big news was kind of that the Brian Johnson, you know, is back in the band, and they've got Phil Rudd back playing drums after his sort of legal issues, and they've basically got the whole band back together after many of them had sort of left for different reasons. It kind of become a band where Angus was the only lead singer. You might remember that like a year ago, Axl Rose was touring as their vocalist because Brian Johnson, the singer, basically lost his hearing. But they've all come back together to make this awesome album. And, you know, the story goes that, you know, a few years ago when they were working on like their previous album, Angus and his brother Malcolm, you know, who of course has died, they kind of like wrote heaps of songs and put together heaps of riffs. So basically Angus went back into those sort of songs that he and his brother wrote a few years ago, and you know they've made a new album. And you know, I can't deny that, you know, there's some great moments on the album, and it's nice to still have AC/DC with us. So let's have a little bit. This is the kind of the first single that came out, but there's something, you know, there's always just something fun about AC/DC, and I guess I often talk about music that's got a lot of joy in it, and even though they're definitely a hard rock band, there's still plenty of joy left in AC/DC. So let's hear a track from their album. Their album's called Power Up, and this is the first single, Shot in the Dark.
Aging Rockers, AC/DC. And you have to admire how they don't change anything, right? I bet he's using the same guitar and amp that he's always used on the same setting, right? Because the guitars sound exactly the same. And even the recording of the drums. Oh, God. That's pretty fun.
So is the happiness in this, is it because this is a legitimately great album, or it's just nice to hear them back making new music?
I feel like they're happy to be rocking, you know, that they're always gonna, they know how to rock, and that's what they've always said that they do. They're just like a rock band, but like, you know, I don't ever sense any sadness in their music, you know. It's all just about having a good time.
So I ended up watching the Grammy Awards. For those not in America, they're the best music awards, allegedly, here in America, but it's always, you know, just a popularity contest. And the complaint I've had in years past is that there are no guitars. I mean, like, you're as likely to see Dick Cheney on stage as you are a guitar. But I think my problem goes deeper than that. It's just the music now amongst, like, that's popular, it's just completely joyless. There's no happiness And, you know, maybe there's not overt happiness in AC/DC songs, but they seem to be very happy making it. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just all like, you know, dance routines and very serious songs about, you know, anything, relationships or whatever. But it doesn't take itself – I mean, it takes itself way too seriously. And AC/DC does not take itself way too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell you that. So
yeah.
There's my disquisition on modern music.
Beautiful.
That's what the kids are missing out on.
I love it. All right. Let's go to my number five. And yeah, sometimes I'm predictable. So no one will be surprised by my number five. Also, I guess as a transition, probably wouldn't classify this as joyous. This is a gloomy album. It's a really gloomy album. But it's Proto-Martyr. You know, how can I not have a Proto-Martyr album in my top 10?
Your best artist of the decade.
Right. Oh, they were, I think, pretty clearly my favorite artist of the decade. So, you know, the bar is high from my standpoint. The reason this one's number five and not number one or two is that, you know how some albums, they just completely hit you in the gut. And you're completely absorbed, right? Just absolutely absorbed by the album. This one didn't quite hit that level for me, but it has enough. On the other side of it, it's a little more experimental than some of their other albums. They've got some guest vocalists. They've got some wind instruments and a lot of, you know, just more experimentation. The whole thing's really gloomy. And if you are inclined, you can read interviews from Joe Casey, the singer, about you know, why it's so gloomy. But anyway, I thought it was still excellent, and it's called Ultimate Success Today, and I picked a track called The Aphorist.
We're all mowing esoteric patterns in the grass, a fast and fading echo. Ancient Azkaban, who carved his lines upon the desert floor in hopes to catch the eye of some forgotten god. Do the light of passing thunderbird, or in patronage of a sky jaguar near the stars.
Proto-Martyr, the album is Ultimate Success Today. I could talk a lot more about it. I probably did when we reviewed the album a few months ago. So go back, listen to that. Listen to Proto-Martyr. I love them. And they're my number five album of the year.
Yeah, where can we find you talking about Proto-Martyr?
it's not too hard.
Like if you just randomly punched in any one of our podcasts.
It's probably me talking about Proto-Martyr. Right. Yep,
I think you quite rightly brought it back to some serious dark indie rock.
Right,
Will.
I took all the fun away after that AC/DC track. Oh, all right.
That's what it's all about: the highs and the lows, the light and the shade.
That's kind of true. Yep. Well, are we at Chris's number four?
We are.
Wow. Oh, I'm not going to disagree with this one, as you know.
Yeah. Well. what proto-martyr is for you. maybe I'm not that high on them, but the Beths, Jump Rope Gazers, is my number four. I think one of the, I mean, there have been a lot of reasons to be sad during COVID-19, but one of the saddest I've been is watching all these videos of how New Zealand has gotten their act together, and they have these big shows with the Beths playing, and they're packed full of people, and nobody's getting sick, and everything's great. Yeah. And yet here we can't get it together, so I don't get to see the Beths.
Right.
Even though I did see them, I saw them three times at South by Southwest last year. So, it's the Beths. They were my number one 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, something like that. And I think this album is a step forward. It's, you know, some slower songs. It's a different style, and I really like the style. And I picked the title track, which is kind of a slower song. Their first album is a little bit more, you know, aggressive, a little more poppy, more of what you'd expect from kind of a new band. But I think they're getting a little more mature now. So this is the song. It's a little bit of a ballad, and it's called Jump Rope Gazers.
The Beths. Yep.
There you go.
Excellent album. You know, there are two or three ballady songs on this album, and I think it's great, right? It adds to their diversity. They've got the punchy, fast power poppy songs, and they can mix in these, and great. They'll be even better if we get to see them again live, right?
Yeah. And when you played their album, you picked another contemplative song, so says a lot that the best songs on the album are kind of the slower ones.
Yep. All right. The Beths. We are now at Nicholas's number four.
Yeah, and let's get back on track, shall we? Back to the indie rock. So this band, you know, this was an album that I guess I helped to review on the podcast a few months ago, and they're a little bit like the band Tincho, who I fell in love with last year. And I guess there was something that immediately kind of grabbed me. And it's like, ah, yes, I'm in love with this band. They didn't make it to my number one, but the band Second Grade and their album Hit to Hit, I just thought was awesome. Just full of great songs and great music, really. There's something about like a band that sort of sounds like this that just I just wish that I could like be in this band, or you know, be somehow, you know, do you ever watch a movie and you kind of like somehow think, oh, I just wish that I could somehow transplant my life into that character's life or something like that? It's a bit like when I'm listening to this band, it's like, yeah, how can I somehow find a magic key under a rock in a forest, and if I you know, put it into a, you know, into the right portal, I'll get trans you know, my life will get transplanted into being the rhythm guitar player in second grade. Yeah. I don't know. Am I making sense? I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
making sense.
Yeah.
Let's all imagine that we're in the band while we listen to one of their songs. This is a song called Velodrome.
Well, I saw you looking out of a window in a cafe down by the Velodrome. You spelled your name wrong on the birth certificate. You cried about it for the whole drive home. And I saw you down at the demonstration, but I couldn't tell what it was about. I spelled my name wrong on the declaration. Couldn't erase it, so I crossed it out. It didn't feel so
second grade.
I would just like to note, any idea who recommended this album to our little music group? That would be me.
Might have been Chris. It might have been.
Yes.
Got to really take like credit album. Where credit is due.
I know, and you're loath to do so. That was funny when you guys talked about this on the podcast. You were like, well, normally I wouldn't listen to anything that Chris recommended. But
right, of course not.
But this one is actually pretty good.
Oh, come on. We there's well, no way we'd be that. We wouldn't be dismissive like that. No way.
No, it was a very good album.
Catchy hooks.
It was a near miss.
Catchy hooks, yeah. You can hear the joy in that. You know, that's a band. You can hear the joy in there. And it kind of feels like if you were in that band, you wouldn't, you know, you'd have no no problems, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you'd be having so much fun.
Second grade.
Right. From Philadelphia, by the way. You know, there are a lot of great bands from Philadelphia. They've got a great indie scene. I'm glad we got a representative on this podcast. Okay. Oh, it's me now.
Yeah.
How fun. Oh, my God. This is so fun. Oh, I'm sorry, but my number four is so good. I mean, I don't want to make you guys feel bad, but...
if it were that good, it wouldn't be number four.
That's true. It could be number one. Well, anyway, it's a great number four. Sweeping Promises. From Boston. So, you know, we should have probably tried... If Jeremiah were involved, we would have set up an interview. This is so cool because they have this... Nicholas, again, will appreciate this. They have this great, really punchy attack bass sound. And so I was so enamored with it that I sent a message to them on Bandcamp. And the bassist sent me a message back and she told me how they made the bass sound. They basically, and you know, it's kind of technical, but they basically plug the bass into a guitar amp, so it's really trebly and super attack sound. Mm. So you'll get what I mean when I play this track. The album is called Hunger for a Way Out. Did I mention they're from Boston? Not that many Boston bands we've been talking about lately, so good to have one. This is the title track from Sweeping Promises, Hunger for a Way Out.
Yeah.
Talk about a fun band. Sweeping Promises. Really
love
that album.
Yeah, I love that album too.
I think Nicholas was on the podcast where we talked about that album, right?
Yeah, and I think I read an interview with them. They were talking about how they recorded it, and it was like the guy playing drums and the girl playing bass and singing at the same time, and they recorded that, just the two of them, like in this big like garage or something like that, to get this reverb-y kind of sound. And they did that with just like one microphone, and then they added all the other instruments after that. Something like that. Is that right? Isn't that
yeah,
what
there was
about?
Something like that. Yeah, like the one mic in the middle of the room or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally fun. That's just great. All right. Well, this is where I always say it's extremely serious when we hit number three. Chris, it better be good.
I think you actually hate this album.
Well, given that it was my number nine, I didn't hate it.
Yes. The aforementioned Soccer Mommy with her, I believe this is her second album, Color Theory. And really liked the first one. And this one is even better. And I realized why I liked it so much, because I like the band Always so much. But it's been a couple of years since Always has come out with an album. And in listening to this one, I realized this could be the Always album that came out this year. Because it is so similar and sounds just like it. So, but I think it's better than her first album, and I think it's a step forward in terms of songwriting and hooks and all that stuff. And really, really bummed that COVID hit and she couldn't go out and do shows. I caught all of her shows, on Instagram, when people were doing home shows and things like that. And she's just as good on those as she is on the album. So the artist is Soccer Mommy, album Color Theory, and the song that I picked is called Lucy.
Soccer Mommy.
Every song, front to back, great songs, and can't wait to see her live.
Yep, it's full of hooks, and she's got enough indie rock cred built up already. I'm not really worried about her. There's some bands where I'm like, damn, they were just about to kind of get their break, and then COVID hit, and I feel like worried about them. Like Disc is an example, right, from Madison?
Correct. We're going to go see them at South by Southwest.
So hopefully they'll be able to pick it up and keep the momentum, just kind of pick it up again. But with Soccer Mommy, I feel like she's already pretty well established. So once the pandemic is under control, she'll, be booking some good tours and have success. So, and we'll probably see her, right?
Absolutely. It's a done deal.
All right. We're signing up. Oh, now this is pretty fun.
No pressure, Nick.
Nicholas is number three. Now, this is, he's kind of keeping it in the family. I love it.
You got to help out your friends. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. This is great.
I reckon I'm allowed to put whatever I want, my top 10, and I can put something at number three just because I want to.
Well, this could be any number of bands that played at the barbecue in your backyard. So,
yeah. And this is where we
come over.
This is where we tell everybody that secretly Barrett put out a solo album earlier this year. No, that's too good to be true.
Yes, Barrett's band Waffle King have released their album, Syrup of the Nation. And this is the first song called Why Am I Jogging? How's that for
pretty good for a spontaneous yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Barrett, sure, that's it was sure it's not Internal Tuxedo number three.
That's your solo band.
That's called a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
that is
only for experienced comedy people,
right? Yep. Yeah, it was in his notes. He's got a little notepad with a pencil there.
Do not like, try that at home at all.
And I think it's always good when you have to explain your jokes. And yeah. That's what I appreciate about you, Chris. So, friend of the podcast, Jason, also known as Red Pants in the indie rock world, put out a great EP a few months ago, kind of recorded February to September 2020. So I guess he and his musical friends were busy during lockdowns and stuff like that. But, look, there was a moment when I was, like, you know, in the middle of lockdown here in Melbourne, and this one song that Jason put out on his EP is called Dirty Laundry. His band is Red Pants. And, yeah, we've talked about them before, and I think they were on my top 10 last year as well. But this one song, which is the first song, is called In Silence. And not very often do I put a song on and then I just put it on repeat and listen again and again and again. And that was kind of what happened with this song. And I was like, wow, it's kind of got a bit of a different vibe than some of his other songs. And I just thought this was just a really beautiful song. So for that reason, that afternoon when I was just listening on repeat, it's made my top three. So thanks, Jason, for putting out great music. The band is Red Pants. Dirty Laundry is the EP, and the song is track one, In Silence.
We said, in silence, in silence. We said, in silence, in silence.
Red Pants. Yeah, it's kind of a hypnotic riff, isn't it?
Mm.
If only we could get him to come on the podcast and talk about it.
Right.
Have Jeremiah get in touch with him.
Yeah, we'll see if he can set up something.
Talk to his agent, maybe.
Right. Some guys, a team of people in suits will approach us. That's great. Red Pants, Jason's band, In Silence, Dirty Laundry EP. Jason, he was so prolific. I mean, I can't believe it. He's still doing stuff like on a weekly basis. I don't know of a more somebody who's taken better advantage of COVID, if that's totally the right way to say it. Just to, I mean, he just immersed himself in the studio. He's written and recorded all kinds of stuff. It's just really great. So and I got to see his band play live, Jason and his drummer, last year, pre-COVID. So hopefully, he can get it back together when we're through this thing. If only he were in Melbourne, it'd be closer. Are they booking anything, by the way, Nicholas? I know that, like, I read how great everything is going, but I suppose they're going to be pretty cautious and not start like booking rock shows yet.
They've just started advertising gigs, so it sounds like some gigs are starting to at least be booked and coming up, you know, over the next couple of months or something like that. So, yeah, I haven't actually heard of any gigs actually happening, but the sort of community radio station that I listen to here that promotes a lot of local music, yeah, I've just noticed they're starting to have sort of ads and things like that for the gigs that are look like they've been planned for the not too distant future. So it looks like it's starting to kind of happen.
Well, maybe you can be the first one of us to go to a gig.
Do a lot,
and then
report,
make us jealous. Yeah, we'll be really jealous. All right. We are talking about number three, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, number three. All right. Well, you know, you got to have an appearance by Fontaines D.C., right? I just think they're such a great band. And, you know, if this had been their first album and I hadn't heard them before, I might have had them even higher. So, yeah, a little bit of familiarity. So they got bumped all the way down to number three. But I just think they're just one of the greatest bands rocking in the current scene from Dublin, Ireland. And they've done some great stuff, you know, COVID gigs with, you know, on stages in empty theaters with, like, surround cameras everywhere and super high-quality sound. That's been pretty cool. And they, you know, they were just, of course, and they've actually, I think, gained in popularity during the year. It seems like they just, didn't they win not a Grammy, maybe one of the European, is it the Mercury Prize? What's that? I don't remember now.
Well, they have been nominated for a Grammy.
Okay.
For this album, they were nominated for either Best Alternative or Best Rock Album. I think it's Best Rock Album, actually. And I think it's the typical Grammys kind of catching up with a band one album too late.
Of course.
But, it's like they nominated Arcade Fire's third album, I think, that won Best. And Beck, I believe, won for, like, you know, Beck, again, also nominated this year for Best Alternative Album, which is just insane because he's one of the best-selling artists of the last 25 years. Anyway.
Well, you can't expect those Grammy people to be on top of things like we are.
Right.
Know?
I digress. Anyway, please, go on. Fontaines D.C.
Right. As Nicholas would say, their year 8 album is called A Hero's Death. And I think it's great. I love it. And I picked a track that I think highlights something that I like about them, which is they can kind of go dark in a really great way. So here's one of the darker tracks called Love is the Main Thing.
Love is the main thing.
Fontaine's DC.
There you go.
Another excellent one. And that's my number three. Well, are we going to number two now? And, you know, I always have to say this about number two. If the number one album hadn't come out, then this would be your number one. So it really better be good, right?
Absolutely.
It's a high standard. And Chris, I think he went, he scoured TikTok to find this one, right?
Yeah, this might have been one of the first ones that we actually reviewed during the year. And this is a rare example of an album where I could not wait for it to come out based on this band's EP that had come out a few years ago. So the bar was set really high, and it actually met the bar that I had set for it. And I think they were actually the last band that I saw before COVID hit. So and the band is Beach Bunny from Chicago. The album is called Honeymoon. And yeah, so I saw them probably February of this year. They came up from Chicago, played a show, and then it was like literally right after that that everything shut down. And they couldn't go on tour, and they couldn't, you know, go talk about this album. Obviously, they're TikTok fans. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen it, but they didn't get to see them in person. So the song that I picked is actually, I think it's the last song on the album. And it's, you know, it's power pop. It's just great. And as I mentioned at the time, it's actually the drums on this album that really impressed me. The drummer is really good. So let's go with the song called Cloud Nine.
Beach Bunny.
Again, you everybody tunes into this podcast to hear what men in their mid-40s say about bands literally half their age.
Right.
I think Lily Trafiglio, who's the lead singer, I believe is literally 23, so she's half my age. But it just goes to show, you know, the themes of relationships and breakups and things like that, they're universal. So good for Beach Bunny. I can't wait to see what they do next. I mean, they've kind of got a really good formula that works for them. But I think she's really got a great ear for melody. And I hope she stretches it out at some point. So, yeah, my number two and well worth it.
I feel like there's a parallel there with the Beths, right? I mean, that's where I see, like, I hope the direction they go is to diversify a little bit like the Beths did. And yeah, she's a talented songwriter, too, for sure.
So while she's been trapped in lockdown, she's been doing some, I believe she's been doing some electronic tracks. And usually that's a warning sign, like, oh, God, please stay away from the electronic music. But, you know, we'll see where she takes it. Sufjan Stevens went electronic for his album this year, and I actually liked it a lot. So, you know, yep. They start to incorporate some of that stuff, it'll be good.
Yep, great. All right. Now, for Nicholas's number two, he's got another breakout artist. You know, these people that play the 100-person capacity clubs in Melbourne, you know? You got to get the word out, right?
Something like that. Part of me is excited to to bring this. Part of me feels like, oh, was this just a stupid idea? Look, in the end, I guess I wanted to choose albums that I actually listened to a lot this year. And so I guess some of those albums ended up being a little bit older than this year. We're going to go back. Let's go back, everybody. We're going to go back to 1980. Yeah, what? we're on the cutting edge here at Will's Band of the Week. Chris is like, hang on, Will, you got to have a word for Nicholas. He's just like, he's not playing the game properly.
There's going to be a podcast management meeting with guys in suits.
And that's fine.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for that email, Will. It's never seems to come. So I've mentioned this podcast that I listen to called Screw It. We're just going to talk about the Beatles. I've talked about this before, and I know that a year or so ago I was kind of, you know, we did that little featurette on some of the early Wings albums that I'd sort of dived into. Anyway, this year, I guess through that podcast that I just mentioned, I was jumping into Paul McCartney's his album that he released in 1980 called McCartney 2. Okay. Stay with me here, guys. And I'm like, what the hell is this album? It's like basically he took himself into his little country house with a whole bunch of like synthesizers in between. This is in between like Wings tours in like 1979, and he apparently just recorded all these songs that weren't even initially intended for an album. And it's just him in his house with a whole bunch of instruments. And he made this kind of like really weird kind of electro pop album, which sounds like, oh, that's going to be terrible. And there's just something about it. There's just like so much fun. And I think it's one of these albums that people have come back to decades later and they're like, wow, he kind of did some cool stuff. So anyway, that's it, guys. That my number two album is McCartney 2. I guess his very first solo album was just called McCartney, and that's what he put out sort of straight after the Beatles broke up, and that's when everybody started hating him. And then 10 years later, he put out this McCartney 2. And the kind of big news is that in 2 weeks from now, he's going to put out McCartney 3, 40 years after the second one, but another album that he's apparently recorded in lockdown, and it's just him playing all of the instruments. And anyway, let's just have some fun with Paul McCartney. We're going to go back to 1980. This is a song from his album McCartney 2. This is the very first track called Coming Up.
Paul McCartney. You know, in a weird way, it sounds kind of lo-fi, doesn't it?
Totally, yeah.
It's like got this mid-rangey thing, yeah. And it's also got sort of a, you know, a 1980 disco kind of sound too. But it's a very catchy track for sure.
Yeah, there's some amazing songs on the album. Yeah, don't be put off by the fact that it's some slightly obscure Paul McCartney album. It's got some cool stuff on it. And thank you for indulging me. You know, maybe I don't know, tolerating might be the better word. But you know, Barrett was smart enough to say, "Hey guys, I'm just not going to do a top 10 this year because I haven't listened to enough new music." But whereas me, I'm like, doesn't. I'll do it. I'll just play you whatever crap I was listening to, and you're going to have to sit back and accept it.
I would say Barrett would probably do the same thing and just be like, these are the best things that I listened to this year, regardless of year. But he has actually been listening to the top 500 Rolling Stone from 500 to 1. Mm. So I'm sure he'd have a lot of thoughts on certain things. But, you know, his choice, he missed out.
Yep. We'll get him back in whatever form he chooses. All right.
You're number two.
Oh, my number two. Oh, guess what? Another duplication. I'm going to agree with somebody. My number two is Second Grade.
Yeah.
recommended by Chris, and Nicholas and I put it in our top 10, and Chris doesn't. It's like, here, you can have this album. Thank you for letting us have this album, Chris.
Yes, I'm gifted it. I'm a very giving person.
It's called Hit to Hit. And I think, well, it's basically one guy who writes all the songs, and but they've got a full band, and boy, that'd be a fun band to see. Like Nicholas said, it just you know, you can imagine how fun it'd be to play in this band. And the album is a lot of tracks and a lot of hooks and a lot of. I always tell people, I've told people about this album, like you really should listen to this. There's a big Star influence in there, and. And then in a funny way, kind of Fountains of Wayne, too. It's like Big Star meets Fountains of Wayne, and it's a little bit lo-fi, and it all adds up to a really cool band. Nicholas stole my pick. He stole it. That was the track I was going to play, but, you know, there's so many good ones, so it's not hard to pick a different one. So I did. Let's play the track Not in the Band. Second Grade.
They kind of remind me of the Shy Boys. Remember them from a year ago?
Yes.
And we also saw it South by Southwest, kind of a
right.
Kind of a do-it-yourself band. So, yeah. Not to be confused with the Proud Boys, who are a white supremacist group right. Here in America.
You know, Shy Boys put out an album this year, and I keep telling myself I need to listen to it. It's on my list. I will go back to it. Yeah, good band. But Second Grade, again, from Philadelphia, and love it. So,
no, it's fun.
Check it out.
Congrats on that.
Okay. Is this it? Are we up to number
this is
one?
It.
Oh, my God. This is so important, so serious.
It's like the end of the Grammys.
It has implications for an entire year. I mean, you can't do another one for another year.
Right. Literally 10 years from now, I'm going to be looking back at this and be like, was this really my number one of the year?
Yeah.
So it's going to travel with me my entire life in a historical way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Chris is up first. So let's have it. Another fun one.
As soon as I listened to this album, I was like, okay, this is my favorite album of the year. This is number one. There was never any question about it at all. Everybody else was playing for second place, and this artist is also a veteran of Will's Band of the Week. She actually did a little bumper for us. Do you recall that? You could probably play it at the end of this.
Yeah, right here.
I'm Hazel English, and you're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
Yeah, that's my girl.
I'm Hazel English, and you're listening to
Damn
Will's.
It. Okay.
Yeah, so this is, as soon as I heard this album, I'm like, this is the best album I've heard this year, or will hear this year. So it's Hazel English. The album is called Wake Up, and every song is just a great late 60s pop gem with big, echoey drums and chamber music, and it's just, this is the band that that we also talked with Lake, so I totally forgot about Lake, but so yeah, I can't say much about it other than we should play some music. So let's play Off My Mind.
Hazel English.
Every song, a perfect pop gem. And it's just such a great album. And I've said it for the last couple artists, but this isn't her debut album. She's had a couple others, but this is a light years ahead of what she's done in the past. And it's just heartbreaking to see her have this come out and not be able to go out there and do appearances and, play in person. And it's just... Man, I hope she comes up with another great album so people get to hear her some more.
Yeah, get out there when the venue's open again.
Yeah.
The album is Wake Up by Hazel English.
She's also an Australian who has, a few years ago, moved to Oakland, California. So she's another – she may have played in Nicholas's backyard at some point. She's from Melbourne.
Yeah, I would imagine. All the indie artists pretty much go through his backyard. It's like you got to go through there.
It's your rite of passage.
Yeah, to get one of those barbecue sausages.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Nicholas, this is it. This is your shot. for number one for 2020.
Yeah, we're kind of coming back to a bit of an old favorite of mine, really. And I was just quickly scanning the Will's Band website and my top tens for the last couple of years, because I was like, when was this? When did I put this band in last? And it looks like they were in my top 10 in 2017. So I guess a band that I've continued to love over the last few years, and they did put out an album this year. And I guess, again, I kind of, as I was flicking through different tracks and different albums to work out, hey, what am I going to put in, you know, in my top 10? It's like, whenever I clicked on this, it's like, yeah, that just like kind of reminds me of this year. I feel like it was just a big kind of soundtrack inside the house, because so many of us just spent so much time indoors listening to music and that sort of thing. So luckily, you know, Krungbin, one of my favorite bands, Krungbin, put out some great music, and they were actually going to be touring Australia. They were going to do this big national tour with, they were going to support Tame Impala, which would have been really cool, because I was sort of playing some, like, almost arenas, I guess, supporting Tame Impala. So that would have been really cool, but that was one of the many tours that got cancelled. So anyway, they had a great album come out called Mordecai, and I don't really know what else to say, you know, just a band with just an awesome vibe. And, you know, this song has got a bit of a kind of a funky disco kind of feel. And again, for that thing of like music that you want to hit play to, that just sort of seems to, you know, brighten everything up, seems to just kind of like help you kind of help you get through. Anyway, Krungbin, definitely a band that I've raved on to you guys about a lot. And great to have them back in the top 10. And I guess taking number one, we haven't really talked about any bands that almost made it, but maybe we'll do that after we've heard all of our number one. So let's listen to a track from Krungbin's album Mordecai. This is the song called Time, You and I.
Krungbin, the album Mordecai. Yeah, it seems like this band is kind of taking off too, right? And you know, I've read a lot about them as they've, you know, come along ever since Nicholas told us about them, which was like probably the starting point for their trajectory into indie rock stardom. But they've expanded their vocals, right? They've been doing more vocals, and they still have their same vibe, and it's great.
Yeah, I really like that a lot.
Austin, Texas. I was lucky enough to see them. They did do their own tour here in Melbourne kind of early last year, and I think I spoke to you guys after that. That kind of basically blew my mind in the best possible way.
Was it the album that did it, or the live performance?
And the live performance. I'd love their albums, and I think a lot of people, including me, we all kind of discovered them at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they quickly became more and more popular. And then I saw them and I was like, oh, finally I get to be into a band when they're kind of current rather than discovering them 10 years later. And so, and then when I saw them live, it was like, oh my God, I had a feeling it was going to be good. I didn't think it was going to be this good. So it's always nice to be surprised like that, isn't it?
Nice. Yes.
That is great. Wow. All right. You think more about wanting live music to come back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They all need
someday
to go play Australia and we could all go there and watch them.
They won't let us into Australia. That's the problem. Until the United States gets its act together, nobody's going to let us in. We can't go anywhere.
We can't just have Nick like vouch for us?
Yes.
Yep, I'll be at the gates at the airport going, oh, right. Yeah, no, it's okay. They're with me. Yeah, you let them in. They'll be fine.
He'll have one of those big signs, like when you come down the escalator, Nicholas will be standing there with a big, great big white board that says Will's Band of the Week on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I'll lead you straight
man
to the limo.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. All right. All right, I'll tell you about my number one. So here's the thing. I was talking about just albums that, like, get inside you, right? And they just, you get immersed completely. So this album came out in March, right when the COVID thing was really hitting, you know, it was hitting the news every day and Twitter. And it was just so terrible. So every day I would wake up and I would read the news. And it would be terrible gloom, like, this is going to be bad. And everything was getting canceled, everything was getting closed, and it was just terrible. And this album came out, and it was this really sad album, and I was like, I don't even know if I can take this right now. I mean, this may not be the time to listen to an album like this. But, yeah, somehow I did it. I guess I have a thing for sad albums. And it kind of just took over, and I just decided I loved it. And at that point, probably was going to be number one. It probably was, nobody was going to surpass it. I just completely got immersed. That's Porridge Radio. The album is Every Bad. And I'm going to play a track called Pop Song.
Won't you take me home? I've got nowhere to be. I'm not afraid to die.
Porridge Radio, the album is Every Bad. It's full of dramatic songs like that. So if you're into that.
Very dramatic.
Chris was on board as like kind of not really liking this album. So,
you know, its charms have yet to reveal themselves to me. Let's just put it that way.
You know, sad, angsty music like that is not for everybody. So I have to recognize that. I think, well, I don't know. It just completely, let me use an Anurag term. It blew me away.
Wow.
From Brighton, England, the singer's name and primary songwriter is Dana Margolin. I think she's a super talent, and look forward to more from them. And they have tour dates set up into 2022. It's like crazy. Some of them are even sold out. So they're going to do great things. Porridge Radio.
Outstanding. So we should note, just for the record, if you are a connoisseur of top 10, top 50 lists this year, none of us had Fiona Apple.
right. The Bolt Cutters album, right?
Yes, which got 10 stars or whatever on Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Phoebe Bridgers, also very, very
right?
popular this year.
Yep.
Not on any lists. So, yeah, we're a little off the beaten path, I think.
Yep. Well, we still have a few more podcasters, so who knows what they're going to come up with, right?
Yeah,
Anurag will probably have a sensitive indie folk album followed by a thrash metal album, right?
Yes.
Do you guys have any like honorable mentions or anything we should talk about?
Well, Second Grade was definitely an honorable mention for me. Laura Marling just barely missed. There's a Chicago band named Rookie. That just missed for me that we talked about on the podcast at some point. So yeah, just a few narrow misses for me.
Nicholas, any?
Yeah, like the Thurston Moore album that we talked about earlier.
Oh yeah,
yeah, you know, really loved that at the time. It's got some cool stuff on it. The band Hum that I think that you introduced us to. Chris,
oh yeah, Chris
is that
did.
Right?
Yes, yep. Another yep. one. Yes, that's another one that probably just missed for me.
Yeah, awesome. It's got some awesome heavy riffs in it. I listened to the band that I probably listened most to this year was the band Sales, but their last album actually came out last year. So yeah, true to form, I'm sort of about 12 months behind. But looking forward to some new music from them, and also the band Trash Kit, who. I think maybe someone that's in Shopping is in Trash Kit as
right.
well.
Right, yep, the guitar player.
Yeah, so I guess they're just another couple of bands that I was listening a lot to this year. Yeah.
Well, I told you that I had 18, but I'm looking now and I have 10 more. So these are the honorable mentions. Baby in Vain, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Really, really great album from a band from Denmark. Dead. Chris, you had Dead on your top 10, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yes, and I very much like the album that came out this year.
Yeah, the one this year was great. That's D-E-H-D, Dead. The RVG album I liked a lot. The Flaming Lips album from this year was very good. You kind of feel like, well, yeah, they're indie rock veterans. They don't need a mention, but it was excellent. Disc, as I mentioned earlier. Spinning Coin.
Yep.
Teen Anger from Toronto was a fun one. Thick, who I think David told us about from Brooklyn. That was a fun one. The Homesick was kind of a progressive rock thing that I really liked a lot. And Public Practice, which is sort of a...
great album.
You know, like
that was just a bare miss for me.
Like a Blondie-style, you know, 80s disco, but cool. Yeah, fun
also
album, right?
Also, Working Men's Club. I really like
oh,
that
right.
album
right. Yes,
well.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully Craig will put that in his, if
yes.
he does one. I think he listened to 10 albums, so he has to rank the albums he listened to. That's not that hard, is it? Oh, God, okay. Nicholas,
so
thank you.
Let me just go ahead and mention like the elephant in the room about my list.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. But it's an elephant. You don't even need to mention it. But, you know, it's
okay.
fun. Yeah.
Go all right.
On. Yeah.
I hate virtue signaling and all that stuff, but this is kind of like a trend that I'm noticing. It's all women.
There's
and
no
men.
Men
just don't really make music I want to listen to anymore. So there's that, and that's all I really have to say about it.
You could have put Second Grade in there just so the men got something.
Yep, and Rookie. Rookie just missed.
Yeah.
So
it's time for the men. The men need to step up in 2021, right, to force their way onto your list.
This is like a research problem, like self-selection or, you know, selection bias, whatever it's called. Like, this is the type of music I like, so this is what I listen to, and they all end up on my top 10. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
It's all right. Nicholas, any parting remarks? I did want to say thank you very much. Barrett's shoes are impossible to fill, but you've done the best job possible, and we're glad you were here with us.
It's a pleasure. You said the magic words, you know, when you invited me to be part of this episode, and I think the magic words were something like, "We'd really love you to be part of it." And you can basically, I think it's just that feeling of, someone else wants to include me in their thing, and I guess that's what I kind of respond to. So thank you so much. Thanks for indulging my musical flavors, and looking forward to another year, you know, as it kind of rolls on, you know, another year of great indie rock and podcast episodes and all that in 2021. But it's great to be here, and thank you for continuing to include me. That's kind of really what I've got to say.
In the age of social media, it's always nice to know that somebody is thinking about you when you're not standing like right in front of them.
Yeah.
Because you get the feeling that if everybody can contact you at any point, when they're not contacting you, you think they're ignoring you. So we were thinking of you. I'm happy. I requested you by name. So we are happy you're on.
Yep. Well, I'm privileged, so thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you, Chris, too. I think you made a few more appearances this year, maybe, than, like, I don't know if we, like, did your appearances per year. I think you, like, because you had a couple streaks where you were on, like, 3 weeks in a row, which was great.
Yes, did.
So we'll keep it rocking, right, in 2021. And I'm just going to decide that I'm going to be really optimistic about 2021, because the trend is going to go, it's going to get better as it goes on, instead of just like gloomier and gloomier.
It's going to be lit next year. So many live reports and everything.
Yeah.
We're back on schedule.
I think so. We have a lot to look forward to, and we certainly
can't wait to listen to everybody else's list.
Yeah, me too. It's such great fun. And I think this music is a demonstration of how we've gotten through 2020, right? We've still maintained, our tastes in music, and music has helped us get through it, right?
That and a lot of scotch.
Scotch, too. That helps a lot. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Our love of music has not been extinguished, has it?
It definitely hasn't. Oh, no. And I've got to thank Nicholas for the coronavirus jingle, too. We'll be playing that a few more times, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're wearing that thing out.
I think it's my most played jingle that I've ever contributed to the podcast. So.
Can a digital file get worn out? Like every time you play it, it gets a little bit, like the top gets shaved off just a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Let's sign off. I've got a big editing job to do now. Not that you guys made any mistakes, but, you know, still. All right, we'll talk to everybody again next week with some more fun end-of-year lists with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.